Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, April 21st, 2014. Rebels allied to Riek Machar say they have captured another town in Unity State.
After defeating them, they pursued them into Mayom, and this resulted in the capture of Mayom. This is a very strategic town. It is at the border with Warabi State.
And the UN Security Council condemns recent attacks on civilians by armed groups in Bentiu.
We're shocked and appalled by the reports that we're receiving of massacres, and particularly in Bentiu, but not limited to that location. There's a vicious cycle of attack and counterattack going on right now.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Rebels loyal to former South Sudanese Vice President Riek Machar say they have captured another town in Unity State. Rebel spokesman James Gadet Dak says his forces are in control of Mayom. He says the town has been the main supply center for South Sudan Army in Unity State.
They were moving towards the direction of Bentiu, and our forces intercepted them and engaged them. After defeating them, they pursued them into Mayom, and this resulted in the capture of Mayom. This is a very strategic town. It is at the border with Warabi State. This is a place where government forces used to reinforce and resupply when they want to launch further attacks into other parts of Unity State from Bargaza region.
And now, you're saying your forces are in control of Mayom town. What is next after Mayom?
We will always try to disrupt their strongholds, which they use to launch further attacks. From Mayom, we will see where they regroup, and if we land that they plan to launch a counterattack, then we will prevent.
This looks like your forces have disregarded the cessation of hostility agreement that you signed with the government of South Sudan in Addis Ababa?
No, it was the government that violated the cessation of hostilities agreement in the first day of Infinitia. You remember in Jonglei State, on the 23rd of January, when the cessation of hostilities agreement was signed, it was the government of Salva Kiir that violated it on the very day. So we have been defending ourselves. We are not violating the cessation of hostilities agreement, but we are defending ourselves because We will not allow them to come to us and attack us when there is this agreement.
In defending yourself, you are fighting, and the agreement says you should stop fighting.
Yes, but why is the other side keeping attacking us? So this is a question you should throw to them.
That's James Gadet, spokesman for rebels allied to former South Sudan Vice President and rebel leader Riek Machar, speaking to me from Nairobi. The UN mission in South Sudan confirms there is fighting around Mayom town, but did not confirm the town is now under the control of the rebels. South Sudan Army spokesman Colonel Philip Aguer denied the rebel claims and said Mayom is not under control of the rebels. The UN mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS, has accused rebels of killing hundreds of civilians based on ethnicity or nationality after seizing the town of Bentiu last week. The mission says rebels killed more than 200 civilians and wounded more than 400 others at Bentiu's Kalibeli Mosque, where hundreds of people had taken shelter to escape fighting.
Several men, women, and children believed to be of Nuer ethnicity were killed for hiding and declined to join fellow Nuers who had gone out to welcome the opposition forces as they came into the town of Bentiu. And at that same hospital, individuals from other South Sudanese ethnic groups, as well as people from the Sudanese region of Darfur, were specifically targeted and killed. On that same day, opposition forces entered a mosque where civilians had taken shelter, separated individuals gathered there on the basis of nationality and ethnic group, and then escorted some to safety and killed others. At the mosque, more than 200 civilians were reportedly murdered, and over 400 were wounded. At the Catholic Church and at a compound belonging to the World Food Program, which has been recently vacated, opposition soldiers also asked civilians who had taken refuge there to identify themselves by nationality and ethnic origin and proceeded to target and kill several individuals. So my reading of this press statement would indicate that opposition forces, as well as elements who are sympathetic to those opposition forces, led by the foreign vice president, Riek Machar Tang, allegedly carried out some of these human rights atrocities based on our preliminary reporting.
What is the total number of people killed so far?
We do not have a total number for those civilians killed in Bentiu since opposition forces began their drive to recapture the state capital. The only figures that we can issue at this time, because we did have people on the ground working for the mission and looking into various allegations, are the figures contained in the press release, namely that at the mosque, over 200 were reportedly killed and over 400 wounded at that house of worship. I cannot give you a figure for every civilian who might have been caught in crossfire in and around the state capitol, nor can I give you a figure for the number of civilians who might have been caught in crossfire at various locations like Mayom Junction, where fighting also took place.
The UN peacekeeping forces are in Bentiu as we speak now. How many people are seeking shelter in your compounds in Bentiu?
Currently, we have approximately 22,000 internally displaced civilians who are being sheltered at our Protection of Civilian site inside the UNMIS base north of Bentiu, and that represents a very sharp five-fold increase from the approximately 4,000 who were being housed at that facility at the beginning of April, even before the attack on Bentiu that resulted in his capture by opposition forces 6 days ago. Our base in Bentiu was receiving a steady influx of unarmed civilians who had been displaced by hostilities and fighting in various parts of that northern state of South Sudan. So the figure once again stands at approximately 22,000, up sharply from 4,000 at the beginning of April.
That's UNMIS spokesman Joseph Contreras speaking to me from Juba. The UN Security Council has also expressed outrage at the recent attacks by armed groups in South Sudan that it says have purposefully targeted civilians as well as UN mission in South Sudan sites and personnel, including Thursday's attack at the UN compound in Bor, which left scores of people injured. The rebel spokesman, James Gadet, admits his group killed Sudanese rebels of Justice and Equality Movement in Bentiu. Gadet, however, denies the UNMIS report that rebels are targeting civilians in Bentiu.
This is not true. I believe this is one-sided report or information. We learned that groups of Justice and Equality Movement wrote a letter, an open letter to the United Nations, that their civilians were killed, were targeted in Bentiu. This is not true. Our forces did not target any civilians, whether from Sudan or from the people of South Sudan. Some of the people that got killed, who happened to be Sudanese nationals, were members of the Justice and Equality Movement. This is a rebel group from Sudan, but they decided to forget about their cause in Sudan and allow themselves to be used as mercenaries by the government in Juba. So these are the members of that group that had people killed, but we did not kill any civilians. This is unfortunate if this report came out of the complaint launched by the groups of Sudanese rebels.
They are giving specific instances that are on the 15 and on the 16 that your forces were searching places where people were hiding in. Your group was looking for certain people from certain communities, and you were singling them out from civilians and, you know, killing them.
These are wrong perceptions. Our forces did not go out to search for members of other communities. What they were doing was to make sure that the town was clear, looking for maybe remnants of the government troops. This is what they were doing. They were not looking for civilians.
And how about the claim that your forces are using Bentiu FM to preach the message of hate against civilians from other communities and other nationalities?
I'm not aware of any hate message because can they say what the particular message they describe as a hate message? I'm not aware of this. What our forces were telling the civilian population was to remain calm because the town came under full control of our forces. So they were telling residents in town and its surroundings to remain calm. There was no hate message.
That's James Gadet, spokesman for rebels allied with rebel leader Riek Machar. He was speaking to me from Nairobi earlier today. South Sudan's foreign minister says Juba urged Sudan to prevent armed groups, including rebels loyal to former Vice President Riek Machar, from cross-border attacks on South Sudan. The government official accused Sudan's Janjaweed of launching attack on South Sudan citizens and oil fields. Barnaba Marial Benjamin tells reporter Peter Clody that open communication between President Salva Kiir and Sudan President Omar al-Bashir will prevent enemies of peace from undermining warm diplomatic ties between Juba and Khartoum.
As far as we are concerned, because we know the government of the Republic of South Sudan is committed absolutely to cooperation agreement, which actually forms the basis for improving relations between Sudan and South Sudan. And then this agreement is a very important agreement because it guarantees the future of peace between the two countries. And therefore, any moves that undermines this agreement is actually spoiling the relations and making difficulties for the neighbors to move forward. This is why we urge the Republic of Sudan that allowing some of these Janjaweeds and others to come into unity state and cause havoc, in fact, is unacceptable. They spoil relations. And I think that must be heeded to the Republic of Sudan.
One of the top-ranking officials of the Sudan's armed forces says that Sudan will not interfere in the internal affairs of South Sudan. There are other reports that some of the rebels are being trained in Sudan, recently attacking Bentiu. What is your government stance about all these reports going around?
Yes, these are the people we are accusing to be spoiling the relationship between the two countries because the attacks now come from the northern part of our country, from the Republic of Sudan, and that's why we are urging the Sudan government to be alert. We know that South Sudan is committed to have good relations with the Republic of Sudan, and we are doing everything in our power to improve that relationship. But allowing the Janjaweed and the ethnic groups like Masseria to come and people train and well arm and attack some of our oil fields in Unity State, like what they did in Bentiu with a lot of massacre, definitely this doesn't all go well. And that's why we are urging Sudan to check its side of the border in order to enhance, to make sure that no hostile elements are allowed to come into the Republic of South Sudan and cause havoc.
Has Juba officially petitioned Khartoum about its concerns regarding some of these that you've enumerated?
No, we have not yet talked to them officially because we believe that the reason good environment between the two presidents, President Salva Kiir Mayardit and President Omar al-Bashir, that they communicate to each other. We believe that those doors are still open. I'm sure as the leadership, they will make telephone messages between themselves and try and see this, discuss some of these things so that they are put into proper order that falls in line with the spirit of building good relations between the two countries. And I believe that South Sudan is still committed that we build our relations on good relationship. And therefore, there are other diplomatic avenues that are being used now so that this error is quickly corrected.
Barnaba Marielle Benjamin is South Sudan's foreign minister. He spoke with reporter James Peter Clotty over the weekend from Juba. Human Rights Watch is calling on the international community to take action against the killing of civilian protesters in Sudan last September. In a report released today, Human Rights Watch criticized Khartoum for failing to investigate serious abuses committed by police and security forces against protesters who took to the streets to complain about a rapid rate of inflation. VOA fellow Nabil Biagio has this report.
Jane Henry is a senior researcher with the Africa Division at Human Rights Watch. She says the international community has done little to hold the government in Sudan accountable for killing civilian protesters more than 6 months ago.
The international community has been quite silent about the issue of these killings in September. In fact, as many as 170 people were killed during these protests, and there is evidence implicating government forces in these killings. This is a very large number of civilians who were killed by a government, and the follow-up has been next to nothing.
Henry says the government of Sudan routinely violates human rights.
We have many, many reports of ongoing violations of international humanitarian law. So these conflicts are all a part of a larger context of pervasive human rights abuses and political repression in Sudan.
She says even though President Omar al-Bashir is calling for more freedoms in Sudan in a dialogue with the opposition, forces loyal to him are still murdering civilians.
Our point is to really emphasize and to remind to the world that during this period of transition, Sudan has blood on its hands.
Khartoum says it is investigating alleged crimes that took place during the protest last September. Information Minister Ahmed Bilal says it will take time to bring the perpetrators to book.
This sort of investigation cannot be done within 1 or 2 days. It is a meticulous thing. And there is a shooting fire from here and you cannot do this.
Bilal says the government has released all those who were arrested in connection with the protest. He said the detainees who are still in prison have been convicted of criminal acts and insists that their detention is not politically motivated.
They are all released. We have no detainee in prisons now, no political detainee now. But there are some people who did the looting. And they stole some of possessions from houses and they made damages.
Sudanese human rights lawyer Abdul Munaim disputes that claim. Munaim, who is a member of the Grifna Youth Activist Group, which opposes President Bashir's government, says he works with many families who are still begging the government to release their loved ones.
There are many people now in detention and in contact with many families. Until now, they're asking to release the member of this family.
Abdul Munaim says he was just released from prison himself. He was arrested when he presented in court the family of a student who was shot dead by Sudanese security forces during a protest in March. He says he was held in a cold room with very bright lights. Abdul Munaim says he has been jailed by the authorities numerous times. He says each time he has been exposed to extreme cold and bright lights. He says it has negatively impacted his health. Grifna takes its name from the Arabic word that means we are fed up. Its members advocate for regime change in Sudan and seek to expose human rights abuses by President Bashir's government. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
Still in Sudan, a U.S. anti-genocide group says President Bashir's government is also mobilizing troops to crush rebellion in Sudan's Nuba Mountains. The Washington-based Enough Project says it has satellite images to prove that. Here again is VOA fellow Nabil Biagio.
Justine D. is a consultant with the Enough Project. She says they have satellite images showing Sudan armed forces moving into position to attack rebels in the Kauda region of South Kordofan.
What we're seeing on the ground is a mobilization of staff forces against rebel positions. And we're seeing a lot of activity,
Dee says the images are taken for the satellite Sentinel project by a military satellite and analyzed by experts. She says the weapons seen in the images include rockets that can kill civilians.
The deployment of a WS-01 multiple rocket launcher, which is a very rare weapon in the staff arsenal, and it's also particularly powerful and indiscriminate and could have devastating consequences for civilians in the area.
Khartoum is not denying that its troops are being mobilized to attack rebel-held areas in the Nuba Mountains. In fact, Sudan Information Minister Ahmed Bilal says his government is determined to end the rebellion in the region.
There is an end for the rebels. Either they come to negotiations and dialogue, or we have actually to protect the innocent citizens in this area.
The Sudan Revolutionary Front Rebel Coalition has rejected President Bashir's recent call for reconciliation. The rebels say any dialogue must take place under a new transitional government. Bilal says that even though his government is carrying out military operations in the Nuba Mountains, the door for dialogue is still open.
This is not a substitute for the dialogue. If they want to declare tomorrow to stop hostilities and to make ceasefire bilaterally with the government and we all come to dialogue, we are ready. We are ready to do that.
But Bilal rejected the demand that President Bashir's government should be dissolved before the rebels agree to talk about peace and democratic transition.
We didn't make any sort of precondition as a government. They shouldn't make this precondition here.
For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Stray dogs that are lost or separated from their owners can look helpless, but they can also be dangerous and carry bad diseases. One such disease, rabies, is a serious threat in Africa, where it kills more people than in any other part of the world. The greatest risk is to children, young boys in particular, who approach the animals to play and then get bitten. To protect your family, eliminate anything that attracts stray animals to your area. Store food so it has no scent to attract dogs. Bury or burn trash. And don't keep water in open bowls or containers. All these things can protect you and your children from the threat of disease caused by bites from stray dogs.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudanese refugees face challenges in Uganda. That story is coming up.
You don't want to miss VOA's South Sudan in Focus. You can hear us on one of our FM affiliate stations around the country or on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan. In Juba, listen to South Sudan in Focus at 8 p.m. on 93.5. Find us on shortwave 11620, 13870, and 15180 kilohertz. Download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
should men and women have the same opportunities for jobs? Why or why not?
Men and women should be given the same opportunity in terms of job because they sit in the same class and they are given the same opportunity in education. So I think when it comes to job, they should be given the same opportunity.
Yes, I believe so, because I believe the opportunities given to each one of them help to run the families. And women have a greater burden than even men do. So if you give men an upper hand than women, it means women will be left with a larger burden, lacking finances, because most men don't give their women enough money to run the family.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese refugees in a Ugandan camp say they are facing enormous challenges, including severe shortages of clean water for the last 4 months. Rhino Camp has resettled about 15,000 South Sudanese refugees after the fighting that broke out in mid-December. Bonifacio Taban reports for VOA from Arua, Uganda.
Rhino Camp is made up of 13 clusters, but the most heavily populated area is Osea Cluster, which has accommodated over 4,000 South Sudanese refugees. Here, women and children line up to 2 hours or more to pump water from boreholes. They also wait in long lines at a tank that supply up to 10,000 liters of water. Refugee Sarah Nyangudding said he spent about 1.5 hours at the queue waiting for water at a hand farm. She said life in the camp is terrible. She said of 10, many refugees go back to their local grass-made house without clean water and end up fetching dirty water from a stream instead.
Our main problem here is lack of water. We have been here for about 3 days without water supplement from the officials. Most of us stay a week without taking a bath. Some of us go to a nearby dirty stream to collect water. We try to treat the dirty water with ash trees to kill the germs for us to drink it.
Ding said most women head home with an empty jerrycan used for water because the camp populations as double and local residents are competing with refugees for clean waters. Another Osea cluster refugees, Kiden Esther, said it is not uncommon to see fight break out over water between refugees and residents. Shortage of water have resulted fightings among residents and refugees over few water facilities.
Even now, people have been fighting here, just now. Sometimes the natives also threaten the Sudanese, and then they start now fighting. After that, we can understand each other. People can come and advise, and then we understand. And then again, people will start fighting again.
Simon Fitter is the chairman of refugees at Osea Cluster. He said there simply is not enough water to go around.
What we have here, we have four boreholes, but one of them is okay. It can give us enough water. Other three, if you pump it to fill one jerrycan, it will take a half hour so that it can fill the jerrycan. Sometimes if it filled four or six, the water will stop.
Peter said sometimes officials supply water, but other times they do not, so refugees at a time must go without water for up to 2 weeks. Assistant Settlement Camp Commander Abili David said they are working on the water problems.
As I talk now, the other people who are helping us, as a place called Tika 3, 3 days ago I went there. I have a company there, they are drilling water. So with that, I can even assure you that soon we are going to solve the problem of water because IPs, they are coming in and they are giving us support.
David said fighting between refugees and the host community over water is being addressed by community leaders who are trying to bridge the gap between the different languages spoken by local and South Sudanese.
Most of the refugees, they speak Arabic, and the local people, they are speaking their Lugwara. So they fail to pick what each is talking. So for them, they may be seeing that this one is abusing us. That is why we normally have few people fighting. But as per now, we have tried to talk to them. We have been moving around, guiding them. They have now reduced struggling for water.
I'm Bonifacio Taban for VOA News in Arua, Uganda.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Juba Alish by Ahmed Brema.
العريض طفيد الغير في أرضنا.
We have been listening to Ahmed Brema with that song, Jubalish. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening, and remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.